Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Michael DelGiorno Show, Super Talk 99.7.
A lot of interesting things, Ken, in the news that aren't really like your traditional politics and news. I'll give you an example. I have been on a roller coaster with American Idol. I stopped watching American Idol after three seasons. And I just thought it got stupid. And the talent was mediocre. And the journey wasn't fun, as some of you would chime in. Just wasn't the same after we lost Yo Dog and Simon.
Yo Dog.
So then, I can never remember Randy Jackson's name. Yo Dog comes to mind first. So, you know, it's like, why would they bring back American Idol? And what makes them think something magical is going to happen by moving it to ABC? But then I start watching, and they focus less on all the stupid stuff. And there was some real talent that was highlighted. I kind of really liked the three new judges. I mean, Lionel Richie, what's not to like? Luke Bryan, Katy Perry, I can't stand, but still. And then I'm like, oh, do I have to repent? And the ratings, of course, were tanked. Nobody cared. And I was like, oh, so my gut was right. There's some things that are just best left dead in the past. You can't bring them back no matter how much you try. And I was like, well, but it's kind of better. Then I was watching last night and I was like, no, it sucks. It just, you know, boom, I'm done. But I keep watching these promos for Roseanne, and there's something about Roseanne. It just has a feel of like All in the Family in the early 70s. Like they've got something different and new to say. That they're bringing back something old, but they're going to do it in such a innovative way. I mean, just watching them mix in today's top stories. The fact that she would be a Trump supporter 30 years later. I mean, I don't know. And I to this day, I don't know how it's going to go. My formula seems to be, because have any of these revived shows, X-Files, Will and Grace, now Roseanne, there was another one, I can't remember which.
Yeah, what was
the None of them are doing well. American Idol, none of them. They're all bombing. But tonight's the night. So put it on your radar if you want to see Roseanne and her kids 30 years later. People forget this because it's been so long, but Dan died in the original. So I don't know how they're going to acknowledge he's alive now, but we'll get to that. I was looking at the ratings. This was kind of a disaster as it was happening, Megyn Kelly, because that's just how divided we are. I always teach that, you know, people are successful if they're unique, credible, and based in key benefit. She loses on key benefit. You can't have somebody who has the same flaws she had in her original key benefit, but, you know, narcissism and love with herself. I never liked Megyn Kelly. I didn't like her on Fox. But she leaves Fox and goes to NBC. Well, that would be like if Matt Lauer suddenly appeared on Fox. He'd have no credibility. After decades of being a biased lefty, now you're going to put him on, you know. So how is that going to work? Putting somebody whose entire association is with Fox News conservative in the heart of all the liberals on NBC. It just seemed like a mistake to begin with. And then you add her in love with herself and performance and so on. Megyn Kelly's ratings are down 32% from the previous year. I mean, can we all agree now whether you like her or don't like her? And I don't. But whether you do or don't, it failed. Now, they've got a lot of money invested in this. This would be what, her third or second failure at NBC? I don't know what they do with her next. They tried doing her own show. That failed. Then they tried to put her in with the Today Show mix. That's failed now, clearly. What becomes of her? Time will tell. But an interesting story that is in the news today. In terms of politics, you know, I think Ken touched on it in the newscast. I would think politically, the two biggest stories is the citizenship question. And I think if you're viewing this as the latest volley in a sanctuary city battle, I understand where they're coming from. But if you look at it constitutionally, as a republic, as a government that has services to determine, voting districts to set, you get a much different view. Now, if you're all about, we're not a sovereign nation, our borders should be open for anybody to come through and expect any entitlement once they're here. Meaning just a GPS shows them on our soil. That's the same thing as being a citizen and entitled to everything a citizen has. That you can be a tax receiver without being a payer. That you can consume these entitlements that were safeguards for our people. Now, I will tell you the simplest analogy is, do you lock your door at night? And if somebody came through your door, would you allow them to just stay forever and just start paying for their groceries, paying for their schooling, paying for their higher education, picking up the tab for all their medical bills? And I know you're not. So the disconnect is you think it's okay as long as it's everybody else's money paying for this ridiculous ideology, this dangerous ideology, this fiduciarily reckless ideology. You're a fraud. Now, why would we not want this information? Well, first of all, we do have illegal immigrants. There's no question they exist. The only question always seems to be, what is the number? Why don't we stop estimating? Because every one of them, on average, costs you $3,000 a year. They don't contribute. So you might want to know how many there are so that you can plan accordingly. There is the moral question, should money that American legal citizens are paying in intended to go for those of our own citizens in need and that fall through the cracks be used by everyone else? So I would say to the leftists that are doing all the sound bites in the news today, well, you love having all of that money going disproportionately to your state for people that are not only disproportionately not from your state, but not even in our country legally, but we have a right to know how much they're consuming because they're taking money out of American citizens in needs. Rations, if you will. We also, whether you like to acknowledge it or not, are a constitutional republic. We're a government of laws, and laws need to be enforced because without them, you have no order. You have utter chaos. And thirdly, we are a constitutional republic with checks and balances, three equal branches of government. Now, the House of Representatives is the branch that represents the people. The Senate, the states. Then you have the executive branch and the judicial branch. But we have a right to know who is really where. Because it determines how many members of Congress and districting. I know none of those things matter to you. You like to live under your delusion that we're not what we actually are and take advantage of it when it benefits your worldview and disadvantage it when it goes against your worldview. So when I see this story, part of me wants to go, well, it's being portrayed as, I mean, it's kind of like when Trump said, wait a minute, if you don't like the laws of this country, then you need to change them. You don't change them through the executive branch. The executive branch executes the law. So I'm not making a comment here nor there about those that are in the country illegal, especially those who came illegally with their parents and have no other country, quote unquote, dreamers. I'll tell you this. You want to help 600,000 of them? I'm willing to help 1.8 million of them. But you're going to meet me halfway, and you're going to do it in the proper branch of government, the legislative branch, and I will sign and execute when you address the situation. In that if we bite this and assume them, you will help me make sure it never happens again. And that means border wall, border technology, border boots, border security, and enforcement of laws for the others. That's all reasonable. We're going to stop with this lottery program. And now you can say that that was Trump's attack on sanctuary cities, but that's just Trump constitutionally, and I'm not his biggest fan, and he's not my biggest enemy. That's just being a smart president. No, the previous president had no authority and no right and exceeded his authorities in trying to dictate that law from the executive branch. You can't do that. The head of the executive branch of government can't just say, well, I know what the laws are, but we're not going to enforce them. We're going to ignore them. That's anarchy. And so I understand that the left wants to say, oh, Donald Trump, he's trying to round up all the illegals. No. He tripled the amount the left wanted to serve and absorb and legalize. He just asked for a reasonable thing in return, a reasonable thing that 80% of America agrees with, and supposedly the left does too. And they weren't interested in solving it. Why? They loved their issue more than the solution. They care more about being able to run on this issue for their own personal office and power than helping those kids. They were frauds. And they're being frauds today. There's nobody in their right mind that believes the census would lead to rounding up. But it is important for us to have an accurate account of who citizens are in the nation. From a branch of government standpoint, to figure out and determine the number of members of the House of Representatives. No wonder the left loves illegals so much. They fill up, populate their area. They get a disproportionate amount of federal funding for entitlements. They get extra number of seats to go vote for their party at the national level. Of course they're not going to like this. And I understand that they're not going to like this. But kind of like Trump saying, we want to deal with DACA. Well, this is the law. It doesn't matter who you are, when you came, or who you came with. You either broke in or you didn't. Now, if you don't like that law, I get it. Change it. But we change laws in the legislature, not the executive branch. And I find this very similar to that. Whether you're an open borders, reckless, fiduciarily, or national security-wise nut, or you're somebody like me that believes in a constitutional government, a republic of laws, we have a right to know who's in our country and how many and who's getting these entitlement dollars, because it was paid for by citizens to meet the needs of our citizens that have fallen through the crack in the needs. And if it's all being sucked up and unfelt by everyone for a political convenience, well, so be it. Tough you-know-what-y. That's far and away the biggest political story. Second biggest political story is the posturing of an ignorant, alarmist, biased media. There was actually a story, and of all places, too, by the way, I think it was CNS News. Is the president putting together a war cabinet? Why is Kim Jong-un in China? Are we getting ready to go to war? What is the deal with all of this technology that Russia and China have that is eclipsing our hypersonic missiles? Russia threatening to retaliate because we threw out diplomats who were really spies who were killing people with nerve agent gases. Recklessly. And what's Russia going to do? Nothing. Should we address this gap in hypersonic missiles? Of course. We don't even know if Kim Jong-un is in China and what that means. Panic, 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 panic. And then you can't have panic without digging up Jimmy Carter. This breathtaking moron. President Jimmy Carter says President Trump's decision a disaster for our country. Former President Jimmy Carter isn't pleased with Donald Trump's decision to name John Bolton as National Security Advisor. You have no greater character in human history of foreign policy disaster than Jimmy Carter. Who rattled his cage? Listen to what Carter says next. Speaking in an exclusive interview with USA Today, the 39th president calls it maybe one of the worst mistakes President Trump has made since he's taken office. Carter's displeasure is due to Bolton's advocacy of war against North Korea and an attack on Iran. a grand distortion, first and foremost. And we wouldn't be having these issues with Iran if a president, a 39th president, didn't meddle in Iran. Oh, the Shah's not doing a good job. He's not representing the people. And he ushered in an Islamic revolution and an Ayatollah and a hostage situation. Oh, we really need the cause of the problem to be commenting on the solution for the problem. Six presidents later and three and a half decades later. What a moron. So you wonder why I'm doing Alice Cooper. Prince's toxicology. Whether Roseanne will succeed or fail. What's in the news but nonsense? And who would I discuss it with? Anybody interested in, you know, a sovereign nation, a constitutional republic? Common, fiduciary sense, national security sense? That isn't what we got in America today. And a bunch of leftist anti-American nuts hijacking children and using them as puppets like Hitler Youth. I mean, seriously, if I can play a couple of tunes, call it a Tuesday, that's good for me. By the way, WTN wants you to voice your vote. We'll be on tour tonight at the Wings and Rings in Cool Springs from 6 to 8 p.m. We have wonderful food and drink specials for you. Our ladies have worked hard with the bounty of thy Lord to prepare you delicious wings.
Yes, sir.
So feel free to enjoy the music, the food. I have no idea why I'm there, why Phil Valentine's there, why Pamela's there, Dan's there, our new morning host is there. I don't even know what voice your vote means. But we will be there because we're made to be there. For God's sakes, if we stand alone, we'll feel real stupid.
Amen.
How's that for a promo? And as I warned you last hour, please do not walk up to our new morning host, Brian Wilson, and comment on how large he is. it's startling to your senses how big he is. What is he, 17'8"? I mean, you're about to see a human being the size of the Batman building.
Yeah.
But resist the urge to comment on it.
Or climb him.
I still want to do that, harness and all.
Yeah.
Meet our new morning host of Nashville's Morning News, Brian Wilson, along with Phil Valentine, Dan Mandis, and myself tonight at the Wings and Rings in Cool Springs, 6 to 8 p.m., and we'll all figure out together what voice your vote is, even though the tour will begin. All brought to you by Paul Winkler, Inc. I'm probably the only one that doesn't know what it's about.
Didn't you say you wanted to sleep in a tent on Brian's shoulder?
Well, when you climb Mount Everest,
right,
you have the resting point.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what they call that. There's a specific name for it, and everybody's yelling it at the radio. But yeah, that's kind of where we hang in our tent before we make the ultimate launch.
Try to get as much oxygen.
Because
as
from
can.
There to the top
base
and
camp.
Down, base camp.
Base yeah. camp.
That from is. Base camp to the top and down, you only got so much time. You'll die. So I figured if I was going to climb Brian Wilson, somewhere around his shoulders, I think I got to rest.
Yeah, you're going to have to take a break.
Take a break, spend the night, get my oxygen levels level, then make the long journey up the cranium to the top, stick my flag in, get safely down to base camp,
yeah.
and then come back and show everybody pictures. So it's not that I just want to spend the night on his shoulder. It seemed like a necessary in the climb overnight rest. But thank you for reminding me of that. Maybe that's what we'll make tonight's event about. Maybe at 7:45, I'll begin the climb, Brian Wilson. Like Buckaroo Blackjack. Is that?
No, not.
That's not Jack White?
Nope.
That sounds like Blink 182.
I am thoroughly convinced I will never know Jack White or his music. Let's just come to that. I'm reading a fascinating story in here. You guys want to join in on this?
Sure.
I know it's not like news, but the news was too easy for me to dissect. This is interesting. So we have a cheerleader from the New Orleans Saints who was fired by the Saints in part because of a photo she posted on Instagram claiming gender discrimination by the team and by the NFL. Jacqueline Bailey Davis filed a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, EEOC, charging that female cheerleaders and male players are held to a different standard of personal conduct. The complaint says that the rules for Saints cheerleaders include, I don't know what goes through your head when you think of, you know, cheerleaders and rules. I mean, they're human beings, they're citizens. I mean, what if the love of your life happened to be one of the Saintsations and you happen to, as God and fate would have it, be a New Orleans Saint? You mean to tell me you can't make eye contact? You can't meet? You can't know each other? I mean, it just seems very strict. So I was like, oh, well, that would be interesting. What are the rules? Now, this doesn't speak to all of the NFL, but specifically, these are the rules for New Orleans Saint Sations, New Orleans Saint cheerleaders. You cannot follow any player or coaches on social media. How bizarre is that? You're a cheerleader for the New Orleans Saints.
You would be encouraged to.
You might want to follow Drew Brees, you know, and love your players and love your team just like everybody else, but you can't. I should do like Johnny, lick my finger. I have another little postcard.
That was a good one.
You must block any Saints player who tries to follow you on social media. Which, by the way, apparently this blocking is better than the blocking we had in that game against the Vikings. Can't contact players, respond to messages from them, or even like any of their social media photos. I mean, this is ridiculous. I love this one. You're a cheerleader for the New Orleans Saints. All right, so you're in the Superdome. You're at the game, but you are to avoid making eye contact and move to the side if a player is in the tunnel that leads into the stadium. Could this be real? Now, you want to talk about an invasion. Now, you happen to be a New Orleans Saints cheerleader, and you're just out to eat. You must leave a restaurant, a bar, or a party if an NFL player is already there or arrives after them. This is like insanity.
In the middle of your meal, you gotta go.
You're at Copeland's, you're in the middle of your steak, and you know, all of a sudden Drew Brees walks in, you gotta leave?
Apparently they're worried about socialization.
Fraternization, but yeah, this is crazy.
It is crazy.
There's a difference between, all right, you know, you get caught having a relationship, you have to resign. Okay, yeah. I get that. But this isn't even letting them be human.
Right.
Do not look into his eyes.
And why is it all on the cheerleaders?
See, that's what I was going to ask, too. Yeah. Why is it all on the
all
cheerleaders?
On them. Well, that's why she's suing. This is gender discrimination.
Yeah.
It doesn't go both ways. And you can't post any image of yourself in Saints gear. And that's what got Jacqueline fired. It's just a picture of her cheering in her cheerleading uniform. That's insane. That's stupid.
Doesn't that add to her brand as a Saints cheerleader?
Well, I don't want to say anything slanderous, but I think one of our coaches may have ended up leaving his wife and having an affair with one of the cheerleaders, and maybe this is part of that overreaction, but this cannot stand. Her complaint says that the male players don't have the same restrictions on them. They're free to like photos of cheerleaders. I mean, this is really butt backwards, if you will.
Yeah.
And so I'm just sitting in, you know, I know you pay me to do news, but it's hard to believe that something like this could even exist.
Yeah.
So one-sided in 2018. I'm not an attorney, as you know. I'm just married to one, but I think she's got herself a suit.
Yes.
And more than just a cheerleading
suit. Does it say what she's asking for? Does she want her job back? She's suing for millions of dollars? What does she want?
The Saints first warned Davis after hearing that she went to a party. So it started with being at a party that an NFL player was present at, and she didn't remove herself immediately. Team also accused her of receiving messages from players on Instagram, which she admitted happened, but said that she never responded. Davis agreed to change her Instagram to private in order to prevent players from finding her online, and then all Saints cheerleaders were asked to do the same. After that, Davis posted a photo on her private Instagram of herself, which her bosses eventually saw and then fired her. But doesn't say what she's asking for, just the complaint is with the EEOC and for gender discrimination. The complaint says, goes through these rules, and then it doesn't really clarify as to whether or not she's asking to be restored or for a monetary.
Well, the weird thing is, if the rules are, when you go into becoming a Saints cheerleader, is one of the rules, one of the regulations is you have to have your Instagram settings to private. Okay, but she doesn't have any control over these players sending her private messages on Instagram, if she didn't respond.
I mean, you have to block any of the players. I mean, why is it put on them?
That's right.
It's easier to replace a cheerleader than a star wide receiver, apparently. But I mean, you're sitting in Copeland's eating a steak and a Saint walks in, you have to leave? That's bizarre. Got to be a way to manage this other than that. I don't know. For some reason, that just I thought that ended up being one of the most interesting stories of the day. That, and you got that French waiter everybody's talking about. He got fired for being rude. And, of course, his claim is, I'm from France. We're all weird. We are all rude. We treat everybody like crap.
That's just what they do.
Preds try to snap a three-game losing streak. That's why I wonder if we have any of those rules for our skating cheerleaders or the Predators. Cannot make eye contact.
You know, dude, does anybody know any...
you looked at Kevin Fiala, you're fired.
Anybody know any Titans cheerleaders? I would wonder if the Titans had similar restrictions. Because that's just crazy.
Well, let me get out my little black book.
Well, and may I say, think of the storybook relationships throughout human history, the star quarterback and the head cheerleader.
Yeah.
They date. They go to the prom together. One becomes king, one becomes queen. They go on, they get married. You know, why can't a cheerleader fall in love with a player?
That's right.
At least they know they got the Saints in common. I don't know. I didn't get it. I thought it was a little too stringent. Anyway, we try to snap our three-game losing streak. 7 o'clock, Smashville, Bridgestone Arena, or be watching on Fox South TN against the Minnesota Wild. Even though we've lost three straight, one of those losses was in overtime, so we got a point. And that point's a big difference. That 107 points is one more than Tampa Bay has. So we still have the best record in all of hockey. UConn and Notre Dame. What a shock. I told you yesterday.
Yeah.
Hold your breath that the Lady Huskies will get there. Or what are they? The UConn Huskies, right?
Yeah, UConn Huskies.
Yeah. They beat South Carolina in their Elite Eight game 94-65. Needless to say, probably the last 15 minutes of that game were girls that never normally take their warm-ups off playing.
Apparently they don't have the mercy rule.
I'm telling you. If Loyola should lose to Michigan, I think we should have a game with Loyola versus the UConn ladies. They are that much better than everybody else, but we'll see. So UConn and Notre Dame join Louisville and Mississippi State. That's your Final Four. Our men's Final Four begins Saturday at 5:09, Michigan and Loyola. Then 7:49, Villanova and Kansas, the two number one seeds. Both games on TBS. Make a note of that. Today on the Dan Mandis Show.
Oh, we've got all kinds of stuff. Obama's lax discipline policies are making schools more dangerous. That's one of the stories I have. Going to have an interview with some of the folks at the Heritage Foundation about China.
China.
And what is Kim Jong-un, that wacky Kim Jong-un, up to on that train?
Well, we can't confirm that he's really there,
right.
Let alone conjecture why he's there or how that changes anything we're doing anyway. By the way, Stormy Daniels on 60 Minutes. Is Anderson Cooper now a natural regular on 60 Minutes?
I think he is. I think he has been for a while.
Really?
Yeah, I think.
How does that work? I mean, does that mean I could do like specials on WLAC? How do you go from CNN to 60 Minutes? I don't understand that. Does anybody have any? Are we the only ones that are strapped to only work here? I never saw him on 60 Minutes. I don't watch 60 Minutes, right. But I did watch the Stormy Daniels interview. I think he, by tactic, played it the way he did. Which was, you know, asking all the right questions, so you can't make it about him. It ended up being their highest ratings since Steve Croft sat down with Barack and Michelle Obama after their 2008 election. I don't know what that says about Stormy Daniels or what it says about 60 Minutes' ratings, but they were good. And then my favorite story I didn't have time to, maybe you can do it by request. The FBI's on a real roll, aren't they? And the latest being, never mind protocol not followed twice with the shooter in South Florida. Anybody shocked to find out the Orlando nightclub shooter's father was an FBI informant? Now, why we got Muslim FBI informants? And this particular, so we have a notion of this son talking about killing people and his sympathies and loyalty to ISIS. So the FBI calls him, the father, as their informant. Hey, what do you know about this? Oh, my son, he's just talking stupid. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Later, becomes one of the deadliest shootings in American history. I mean, if you're the FBI, could there be any worse news in the last week and a half? I mean, what have they done right in the last year?
Well, you know,
they're in such a role.
They would tell you what they've done right, but then they'd have to kill you, so.
Well, they wouldn't follow up to kill you.
That's a great point.
Listen, if I'm on anybody's list, I want to be on the FBI's list. They'll never remember to follow up. We went to kill him. We just didn't follow protocols and get around to killing him.
There you go.
So quick pro quo, why are we meeting tonight?
Like to welcome Brian Wilson to
But what
this.
Is voice your vote? Am I supposed to go, you know, I'm voting for Trump? Just
no,
like
the
blurt
thing
it out
is,
like Tourette's?
We set all this up before we made some changes. I tried to get it to change to, you know, Brian Wilson
can
to...
Can I climb as a stunt Brian Wilson during the event? Literally with a harness a pick.
I'll let you and Brian figure that out with each other.
I think he is the tallest member of the WTN staff in history.
You think he is? Yeah, at least the current staff.
He's taller than Steve Gill.
Yeah, I think so.
He is the so come meet the tallest talk host in WTN history, our host of Nashville's Morning News. Brian will be there, Wilson. I'll be there. Phil Valentine will be there. Dan Mandis will be there. Of course, Pamela will be there. I throw that in just anecdotally. And she's here after her little traffic jam issue. We will be at Wings and Rings, Cool Springs tonight, 6 to 8. So we'd love to see you. Come on by.